Now, as you know, we're trying pretty hard to bring you a range of arenas in which our election is being played out. And to start, a surprising one, very much a product of the rich mix of people who now call Australia home. It's the Chinese social networking platform WeChat in Australia, described in some commentaries as a key battleground in this election. There's been reference to how it operates during the past week, sounding both awed and fearful about whether it is compatible with Australia's openness and our security. Internationally, WeChat has a phenomenal 1 billion monthly users as of January this year, although many people have more than one account apparently, so the actual user numbers could be less. Professor Wanning Sung from the University of Technology, Sydney, has weighed into this quietly emerging debate with some clarification, insights and recommendations for Australians who seek to understand more about it, because she says there are some strong misconceptions abroad alongside some risks. Wanning Sung, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you, Geraldine.
To start, what are some of the key misconceptions you think people have about WeChat in Australia?
Well, there are a number of misconceptions here, but I think the most important misconception here is this assumption that WeChat is an instrument of the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda machine. It is not. I made a very fine distinction, but a crucial distinction in my policy brief, which is WeChat indeed is subject to censorship and surveillance and control of the Chinese authorities. But it's not the same thing as the statement that WeChat is function primarily and solely as the instrument of Chinese Communist Party's propaganda.
So you don't think they're distributing material about China?
Well, I'm sure it is.
Or political material.
I'm sure it is distributing materials. That is, you know, the content of propaganda. But so are the people who are critical of the Chinese government, also using WeChat as a platform in order to contest and in order to argue and debate with various things that the Chinese authorities are saying. Of course, what they're saying are subject to censorship, and from time to time they get taken down. But WeChat as a platform is very diverse and is a very fragmented and a very contested space, in the same way as Facebook and Twitter is.
Mm. I'd like you to explain the difference between taking out an account using a Chinese number versus one in Australia, say, or elsewhere.
Mm. Well, WeChat is a Chinese company that is owned by Tencent, the same social media company that also owns and operates on QQ, which is another social media platform in China. Now, you can register to be a WeChat user both inside China as a domestic user and outside China as an international user. You just have to enter your ID or your telephone number or email address in order to get an account. But there is a difference between personal account and public subscription account. If you are in China, then you enter with your Chinese ID. But you're outside China, you enter with your international ID. But if you actually have an international subscription account, you will not be able to post as much information as you would like to. So as a result of that, many overseas entities, individuals and organizations who like to take advantage of WeChat for business and other reasons would end up actually using sort of strategy, if you like, by asking their Chinese partners or Chinese contact to use their Chinese ID to open an account in China.
Now, there are two things that struck me. The ABC News, that's been in the headlines, as has the SBS account. Mm. Now, they are registered in China, aren't they? And they are therefore, am I correct, subject to more scrutiny by the Chinese authorities versus ones that might be opened in Australia personally?
That's right. The content is definitely available to the Chinese people whose job it is to keep an eye on what's going on. And they certainly have access to the content if they want to.
If they want to.
Yeah, that's if they want to. Having said that, there are a number of things that could trigger your content to be...
Even if you were registered in Australia.
That's right.
Okay. Like, and I mean, if you mentioned Tiananmen Square,
one is the keywords. There may be a list of keywords containing sensitive words that, you know, the Chinese government think that might sort of run the risk of destabilizing the Chinese society. And in addition to that, there are a number of individuals and organizations who may be on China's watch list, right? Mm. So as a combination of these, certain content is subject to filtering and censorship. Having said that, politicians in Australia and political parties in Australia open a WeChat account in order to...
speak to their local Chinese.
As part of the,
that was my next question.
As part of the campaign... I doubt very much of what they're saying is of political interest to Chinese authorities.
Mm. Now, so we've got the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the opposition leader, Bill Shorten. They have accounts on WeChat. Now, they're registered here in Australia.
As do many of their colleagues within the parties, many.
So your point in this very interesting article you wrote recently was that actually Australian politicians are really jumping in now to WeChat, which is a very interesting development. Mm. Is that a very good way to reach the Chinese diaspora?
Well,
who'll be casting votes?
Well, if you look at the past few elections, both state elections and federal elections, the answer is yes. In 2 years, 3 years ago, 2016, the winning of the seat in Chisholm in Victoria was cited very often as example whereby WeChat was used very aggressively, effectively to spread information about LGBT as well as safe school. And that was considered to be quite effective. That was a lesson. That was a lesson for the Labour to learn. And even as recently as in the state election of New South Wales, Scott Yeung, who is the Liberals candidate for COGRA, made it clear that as soon as he heard about Michael Daly's comment about Asians' PhD, he took to WeChat. And he himself claimed that it was very, very effective in contributing to the demise, if you like, of Michael Daly.
Yes, I think New South Wales Labour's Jodie McKay has been very active, hasn't she?
Jodie McKay, yes. Mm. Jodie McKay is interesting because she actually had a very interesting strategy. She talked to the Chinese language media, and then content of the interview was published in Chinese, and then it was distributed quite widely on WeChat. So that's using WeChat, but in a different way.
And so would WeChat now be trumping Chinese traditional media here in Australia for reaching Chinese?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it sounds a bit wild. It's a big contest. It's a big conversation, is it?
It is a very big context. And I think both Labour and the Coalition have realised that. And to put it bluntly, they actually realised that it is a platform they cannot afford not to use. Mm. And if I'm not going to use it, the opposition is going to use it. At the moment, the question, the challenge for them is A, how to use it effectively, and B, how to stop yourself being shafted on the WeChat by the opposition. It is getting quite dirty out there.
Is it?
Yeah, on the ground, yes.
And you make a number of recommendations. You see enormous opportunities of WeChat in Australia. I want you to tell us what you suggest about journalism students being more proficient in it, and also as a venue for articulating Australian values, the very thing that it seems to be so debatable, contested. You think it's been grossly underexploited?
I do think so. I think most of the public discussions about WeChat tend to focus on censorship and possible political interference. And there's very, very little discussion on why actually politicians take to WeChat, and more importantly, what can we do to make WeChat, productive use of WeChat in Australians' public life, as well as to increase the quality of journalism. So one of the recommendations I made in the China Matter policy brief is that we should actually find ways of encouraging journalists to actually become literate in how to use WeChat. Because frankly, quite a few journalists who have written on WeChat are not WeChat account users. They don't even know what it is. It's like a black box to them. Yet they do not hesitate to talk about WeChat and find some people to talk about WeChat that kind of support their points of view, so which I find that a bit sort of irritating, to be honest with you. So my first recommendation is that Australian media organisations should employ more staff with Chinese language speaking and writing skills so that they can interact with and find out what's going on WeChat. And I've seen some positive examples of Chinese-speaking journalists working for Australian media organisations.
Look, very quick final one. What about this argument that we can articulate our values?
Oh, yes, yes.
Who would do that?
Yes. You know, on most occasions, WeChat has been talked about as a way of spreading so-called Chinese propaganda. But my research has so far suggested that because of the increasing use of WeChat, the Chinese Australians in this country have become much more politically engaged. And let me tell you, the Chinese voting community in this country is so divided, and they are arguing constantly, and they are as hostile to each other as, you know, as you can imagine in public sort of Australian discourse. And I think it's a good thing I have witnessed, because I am lurking in the WeChat groups of no less than 10 WeChat accounts. And every day I'm watching what's being said in there. And there's a lot of enthusiasm. So I think we should find ways of actually using WeChat to promote this ethos of multicultural dialogues. And also, I think it's very heartening to see these people learning how to be citizens in this country, whereas in the country where they came from, they did not have voting rights. There's no possibility to become a democratic citizen. Mm. And now they actually learn we need to be, you know,
engaged,
exercise rights and obligations.
Even if we argue.
We also need to learn how to agree to disagree respectfully. So this is our old democratic values. And I think WeChat is enabling them to do it.
Professor Wanning Sung, lurking on our behalf. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
That's a pleasure, Geraldine.